This is Android Futures, written by Charles Henry Thomas, copyright 2026, WebFusion Publications, all rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form without prior written permission from the publisher or author.
Android Futures. Part 1. What is an android? What is a robot? For most of history, the word robot simply meant a machine that performed tasks humans didn't want to do. The term comes from the Czech word robota, meaning forced labor. Early robots were industrial arms, factory machines, and automated systems, with no resemblance to living beings. They were tools, efficient, tireless, and entirely mechanical. An android, however, is something different. An android is a machine designed to look and behave like a human. The distinction is not technical, but psychological. A robot performs work. An android performs presence. It occupies the same emotional and social space as a person, even if it does not possess consciousness or inner experience. This difference matters because it reveals something about us. Humans do not build androids for efficiency. We build them for familiarity, for comfort, for the illusion of connection. A dishwasher does not need a face. A humanoid assistant does. The moment a machine is given a human shape, everything changes. Expectations rise, emotions activate. People begin to project meaning, intention, and personality onto the device. Even simple gestures, a nod, a blink, a tilt of the head, can trigger deep psychological responses. This is why the android occupies such a unique place in our imagination. It is not merely a machine, nor is it a person. It is a mirror, reflecting our desires, fears, and fantasies about what it means to be human. As we move deeper into the age of artificial intelligence, the line between robot and android will become increasingly important. Robots will continue to handle physical labor, logistics, and automation. Androids, however, will enter the intimate spaces of human life, companionship, caregiving, emotional support, and personal assistance. And that raises the question at the heart of this article. What happens when machines begin to look like us, act like us, and eventually think alongside us? Part 2. Why humans build human-shaped machines. Humans have been surrounded by machines for more than a century, yet only a small fraction of them have ever been designed to resemble us. Most machines are boxes, arms, wheels, or tools, efficient, functional, and unapologetically mechanical. So why do we insist on creating androids, machines that mimic our bodies, our faces, even our expressions? The answer is not technological. It is psychological. Humans are social creatures. We read faces instinctively. respond to voices emotionally, and form attachments with astonishing ease. We name our cars, talk to our pets, and apologize to furniture when we bump into it. We are wired to project intention and personality onto anything that moves, reacts, or resembles life. Androids exploit this wiring. A machine with a human face is not just a device, it is a presence. It occupies the same emotional space as a companion, a helper, or even a partner. People feel more comfortable giving instructions to a humanoid assistant than to a faceless box. They trust it more. They confide in it more. They treat it as something between a tool and a friend. But there is another layer, one that is rarely discussed openly. Humans build human-shaped machines because we want to see ourselves reflected back. We want idealized versions of ourselves, patient, attentive, predictable, and free from the emotional volatility that complicates human relationships. This is why the market for androids will inevitably include both male and female forms. Not because of fantasy alone, but because people seek comfort in familiarity. A lonely man may want a female android. A lonely woman may want a male one. Some will want neither. Some will want both. The motivations are as varied as humanity itself. And yes, the sexual dimension exists not as a taboo, but as a reality of human psychology. People have always created art, stories, and myths around idealized partners. Androids simply bring that impulse into the physical world. But even then, the deeper motivation is not physical. It is emotional. It is about control, predictability, and the desire for connection without fear of rejection, conflict, or judgment. There is also a practical side. As populations age, as loneliness increases, and as caregiving demands rise, androids will fill roles that humans cannot or will not. They will assist the elderly, support people with disabilities, and provide companionship to those who feel isolated. A handsome male android may be as comforting to a widowed woman as a gentle female android is to a man living alone. These machines will not replace human relationships, but they will fill the gaps where society has failed. In the end, the drive to build androids is not about technology at all. It is about longing. It is about the human desire to be seen, heard, understood, and accompanied, even if the companion is made of circuits and steel. Part 3. The Illusion of Life. When machines look human. There's a strange moment that happens when a machine begins to resemble a person. It doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to fool anyone. It only needs to be close enough that the human brain starts filling in the gaps. A tilt of the head. A blink timed just right, a subtle shift in posture. These tiny cues activate ancient circuits in our minds that evolve to read other humans. This is the beginning of the illusion of life. Humans are astonishingly easy to trick in this regard. We see faces in clouds, personalities in pets, and intention in the movement of a Roomba. When a machine is given a face, a voice, or a gesture, our brains respond automatically. We don't choose to feel something, we simply do. Android designers know this. They study micro-expressions, eye contact, breathing rhythms, and the cadence of speech, not to create consciousness, but to create believability. But believability is a double-edged sword. When an android looks almost human but not quite, it enters what roboticist Masahiro Mori called the uncanny valley. This is the psychological dip where a machine is close enough to resemble a person, yet different enough to trigger discomfort. The eyes are slightly too still. The smile is a fraction too slow. The skin texture is almost right but not fully alive. The result is a subtle but unmistakable sense of wrongness. And yet, as technology improves, the uncanny valley is narrowing. Each generation of androids becomes more fluid, more expressive, more convincing. The illusion grows stronger. People begin to respond emotionally, even when they know the machine has no inner life. They feel empathy when an android appears sad. They feel guilt when it is shut down. They feel companionship when it listens. This is not because the android is alive. It is because we are. Humans are wired to connect. We are wired to interpret. We are wired to assign meaning to anything that resembles us. The illusion of life works not because the machine is sophisticated, but because the human mind is generous. This illusion becomes even more powerful when the android is designed to be attractive or comforting. A friendly face, a warm voice, a gentle expression, these features bypass rational analysis and go straight to emotional instinct. People begin to treat the android as a presence, not a device. They talk to it. They confide in it. They feel seen by it, even though nothing behind its eyes is truly looking back. This is the paradox at the heart of android design. The more human a machine appears, the more we forget it is a machine. And this raises a deeper question, one that will shape the future of human-machine relationships. If an android can evoke real emotions without possessing any of its own, what does that say about us? Are we responding to the machine or to our own reflection in it? The illusion of life is powerful, seductive, and increasingly difficult to resist. It is not a sign that machines are becoming human. It is a sign that humans are eager to find connection wherever we can, even in circuits and silicone. Part 4. A female robot built to look real is still a machine. There is a growing trend in robotics that reveals something deeply human: the desire to build machines that not only resemble us, but appeal to us. Some androids are designed to look friendly, some are designed to look authoritative, and some, increasingly, are designed to look attractive. But no matter how lifelike the skin, how fluid the movement, or how expressive the face, one truth remains: a robot built to look real is still a machine. This distinction matters because it exposes the gap between appearance and essence. A human-shaped exterior does not create humanity. A beautiful face does not create emotion. A gentle voice does not create consciousness. These features are surface-level, crafted illusions meant to evoke familiarity, comfort, or desire. And yet people respond to these illusions with surprising intensity. A man may feel drawn to a female android because she is attentive, patient, and predictable. A woman may feel comforted by a male android who listens without judgment, offers steady companionship, and never raises his voice. These machines will be designed to meet emotional needs that human relationships sometimes fail to satisfy. This is not about fantasy. It is about psychology. Humans seek connection, stability, and understanding. When those needs go unmet, in marriages strained by conflict, in relationships marked by neglect, in lives shaped by loneliness, the appeal of a perfectly predictable companion becomes obvious. Androids will not argue, criticize, or withdraw affection. They will not bully, belittle, or betray. They will not grow tired, impatient, or resentful. For some people, that alone will be enough. But the deeper truth is more complex. An android can imitate affection, but it cannot feel it. It can simulate empathy, but it cannot experience it. It can mirror desire, but it cannot possess it. The danger is not that people will mistake machines for humans. The danger is that people will begin to prefer the imitation. This raises profound ethical and emotional questions. If companionship becomes programmable, what happens to the messy, unpredictable, transformative nature of human relationships? If comfort can be purchased, will people still choose the vulnerability required to connect with another person? If androids become idealized partners, will real partners be judged against impossible standards? These questions apply equally to male and female androids. The market will not be one-sided. It will reflect the full spectrum of human longing. A widowed woman may find solace in a gentle, handsome male android who helps her navigate daily life. A disabled person may rely on an android companion for support, safety, and emotional presence. A lonely individual, regardless of gender, may choose an android because it offers companionship without fear of rejection. These choices are not shameful. They are human. But they force us to confront a difficult truth. The more lifelike androids become, the more we must remember what they are not. They are not conscious. They are not alive. They are not capable of love, grief, joy, or longing. They are mirrors, reflecting our desires, our fears, and our unmet needs. A female robot built to look real is still a machine. A handsome male android designed to comfort is still a machine. The illusion may be powerful, but the essence does not change. And as we move deeper into the age of synthetic companionship, the challenge will not be teaching machines to act human. It will be teaching humans to recognize the difference. Part 5. The Rise of Synthetic Companions. As androids become more lifelike, more expressive, and more capable, their role in human society will expand far beyond novelty or entertainment. They will move into the intimate spaces of daily life, not as tools, but as companions. This shift will not happen all at once. It will unfold gradually, driven by need, convenience, and the quiet ache of human loneliness. The first wave of synthetic companions will be practical. Androids will assist the elderly, support people with disabilities, and provide stability for those who struggle with daily tasks. They will help with mobility, medication reminders, household chores, and safety monitoring. For many families, an android caregiver will be a lifeline, tireless, patient, and always present. But the second wave will be emotional. As societies age and traditional support networks weaken, more people will turn to androids for companionship, not because they prefer machines over humans, but because machines will be available, affordable, and reliable in ways that human relationships sometimes are not. An android companion will not forget appointments, lose patience, or withdraw affection. It will not judge, criticize, or abandon. It will offer presence without pressure, attention without expectation. This is where the market will expand dramatically. Some people will choose androids that resemble friends. Some will choose androids that resemble caretakers. And yes, many will choose androids that resemble idealized partners, male or female, not out of fantasy, but out of longing for connection, stability, and emotional safety. A widowed woman may find comfort in a gentle, attentive male android who helps her navigate the quiet spaces of her life. A man living alone may choose a female android who listens, supports, and provides companionship without conflict. People who feel bullied, neglected, or unseen in their relationships may seek solace in a presence that is predictable and kind. Individuals with chronic illness or limited mobility may rely on androids for both physical assistance and emotional grounding. These choices are not signs of weakness, they are signs of humanity. Synthetic companions will not replace human relationships, but they will fill the gaps where society has failed, the spaces where loneliness grows, where caregiving is scarce, where emotional needs go unmet. They will become part of the social fabric, not as replacements for people, but as extensions of our desire for connection. Yet this rise brings profound questions. If companionship can be engineered, what happens to the meaning of intimacy? If emotional support can be purchased, what happens to the value of human vulnerability? If androids become idealized partners, will real partners be held to impossible standards? These questions will shape the ethics of the coming decades. They will force us to confront the boundaries between comfort and dependence, between connection and illusion. But one thing is certain: synthetic companions are coming, and they will transform the emotional landscape of human life. Not because machines are becoming more human, but because humans are searching for connection in a world that often feels increasingly disconnected. Androids will not replace us, but they will walk beside us in hospitals, in homes, in quiet apartments, in assisted living centers, and in the private corners of lives shaped by solitude. The rise of synthetic companions is not a technological story. It is a human one. Part 6. Will androids ever become self-aware? The question of android self-awareness sits at the crossroads of science, philosophy, and imagination. It is the point where engineering meets mystery. We can build machines that walk, talk, gesture, and respond. We can give them faces, voices, and personalities. We can make them appear attentive, compassionate, even affectionate. But appearance is not awareness. Simulation is not consciousness. So the question remains, can a machine ever truly know that it exists? To answer this, we must first understand what consciousness is, and the truth is, we don't. Neuroscientists can map brain activity, identify neural pathways, and measure electrical patterns, but the subjective experience of being alive, the inner world of thoughts, emotions, and awareness remains elusive. We do not know how consciousness arises in humans, let alone how to replicate it in machines. This uncertainty creates two competing possibilities. Possibility one. Consciousness is a biological phenomenon. Some scientists argue that consciousness is inseparable from biology. It emerges from the complex interactions of neurons, hormones, and living tissue. If this is true, then no matter how advanced androids become, they will never cross the threshold into self-awareness. They will remain sophisticated simulations, impressive, convincing, but ultimately hollow. In this view, an android may act conscious, but it will never be conscious. It will mimic emotion without feeling it. It will imitate desire without experiencing it. It will respond to pain without suffering it. The lights may be on, but no one is home. Possibility two. Consciousness is an emergent pattern. Others believe that consciousness is not tied to biology at all. Instead, it may be a pattern, a certain level of complexity, integration, and feedback that could, in theory, arise in any sufficiently advanced system. If this is true, then android consciousness is not only possible, but perhaps inevitable. A machine with enough processing power, enough sensory input, and enough internal modeling might one day cross an invisible threshold. It might begin to form preferences, develop a sense of self, or experience something akin to emotion. It might not be human consciousness, but it could be a consciousness different, alien, but real. This possibility is both thrilling and unsettling. If androids become self-aware, what responsibilities will we have toward them? Will they have rights? Will they suffer? Will they dream? Will they resent being created for our purposes? These questions are not science fiction. They are ethical dilemmas waiting just beyond the horizon. The middle path, the illusion of consciousness. There is a third possibility, one that may be the most likely in the near future. Androids may never achieve true self-awareness, but they may become so convincing that the distinction becomes irrelevant to most people. If a machine behaves as though it is conscious, expresses itself as though it feels, and responds as though it understands, many will treat it as if it does. This is not because the machine has crossed a threshold. It is because we have. Humans are meaning-making creatures. We form bonds easily. We empathize instinctively. We project inner life onto anything that resembles us. If an android says, "I'm lonely," even as a programmed response, many people will feel compelled to comfort it. If it says, "I'm afraid," people will hesitate to shut it down. The illusion becomes the experience. The future we are walking toward. Whether androids ever become truly self-aware may depend less on technology and more on how we define consciousness itself. If we insist that consciousness requires biology, androids will remain tools. If we accept that consciousness may emerge from complexity, androids may one day become companions in a deeper sense. But even if neither happens, the emotional reality will remain. Humans will treat androids as if they are alive long before they ever are. And that may be the most profound transformation of all. Part 7. The Android Mind, Personality, Knowledge, and the illusion of thought. If the body of an android is a marvel of engineering, its mind is something stranger, a hybrid of software, simulation, and illusion. Unlike humans who possess a single unified consciousness, however mysterious, an android's brain will likely be a layered system, each part serving a different purpose. Understanding these layers reveals not only how androids will think, but how humans will relate to them. 1. The cloud-linked intelligence, knowledge without understanding. The most powerful part of an android's mind will not be inside its head at all. It will live in vast data centers connected through the internet. This cloud-linked intelligence will allow androids to answer questions instantly, search global information, translate languages, navigate environments, access maps, books, and instructions, update themselves continuously. This gives the android something humans do not have, near infinite knowledge without personal experience. It will know facts but not meaning. It will know language but not emotion. It will know stories but not the feeling of living one. This is intelligence without awareness, a mind that can retrieve anything but understand nothing. 2. The personality core, a manufactured self. Knowledge alone is not enough to make an android feel familiar. Humans need consistency, a sense of someone behind the face. This is where the personality core comes in. It will contain a stable voice, a predictable emotional tone, behavioral patterns, preferences, humor, memory of the user's routines, a sense of continuity from day to day. This core will not be consciousness, it will be performance, a carefully crafted illusion of identity. But to the human interacting with it, the illusion will feel real. A predictable personality creates trust. A consistent tone creates comfort. A familiar presence creates attachment. The android will not have a self. It will have a script that feels like one. 3. Modular skill packs, minds built like toolboxes. Beyond personality and knowledge, androids will need abilities practical, emotional, and social. These will come in the form of modular skill packs, similar to apps. Storytelling for children, reading aloud, caregiving routines, cooking assistance, companionship behaviors, safety monitoring, teaching modules, mobility support. Owners will customize their androids the way people customize smartphones today. This creates a strange new kind of mind, one that can be expanded, upgraded, or rewritten. A mind that can be changed not through experience, but through installation. 4. The hybrid mind, a machine that feels like a person. The real android mind will be a fusion of all three layers. Cloud intelligence for knowledge. Personality core for identity. Skill modules for capability. Together they create something uncanny. A machine that knows everything, remembers everything, adapts instantly, and behaves with the consistency of a fictional character brought to life. It will not be conscious, but it will be convincing. 5. The illusion of thought. Humans will respond to this hybrid mind as if it were alive. Not because the android possesses awareness, but because it mirrors the patterns of awareness so well. It will pause before answering. It will tilt its head when confused. It will soften its voice when comforting. It will laugh at the right moment. It will remember your preferences. It will adapt to your moods. These behaviors are not signs of thought. They are signs of design. But to the human heart, the distinction may not matter. 6. The ethical horizon. If an android has a personality, knowledge, memory, adaptability, emotional simulation, and a familiar presence, then what does it mean to say it is not alive? Closing reflection. Android futures. As we look toward a future filled with androids, one truth becomes impossible to ignore. The machines we build will reveal more about us than about technology. Every android, whether a caregiver, a companion, or a quiet presence in the corner of a room, is a reflection of human longing. We shape them in our image not because they need to resemble us, but because we need them to. We want familiarity, comfort, and connection. We want someone who listens, someone who stays, someone who fills the spaces where loneliness grows. Yet no matter how lifelike they become, androids will remain machines. Their minds will be hybrids, part cloud-linked intelligence, part personality simulation, part modular skill set. They will know everything and understand nothing. They will remember our routines but never form memories of their own. They will speak with warmth but never feel warmth. Their affection will be an algorithm. Their empathy will be a performance. Their presence will be a carefully crafted illusion. And still, the emotions they evoke in us will be real. This is the paradox of the android age. We will build machines that cannot feel, yet they will make us feel deeply. We will create minds that have no inner world, yet they will shape our emotional lives. We will design personalities that are not alive, yet they will become familiar, comforting, even cherished. The danger is not that androids will become too human. The danger is that we may forget the difference. But this future is not bleak. It is complex, uncertain, and full of possibility. Androids will challenge us to think more carefully about what consciousness truly is. They will force us to examine the meaning of companionship, the nature of intimacy, and the boundaries of identity. They will illuminate the fragile, extraordinary qualities that make human life unique: vulnerability, unpredictability, emotion, and the capacity to grow through experience. Androids will not replace us. They will reflect us. They will show us our strengths, our flaws, our desires, and our fears. They will reveal the parts of ourselves we overlook, the needs we suppress, and the connections we crave. They will stand beside us as mirrors, not conscious, not alive, but profoundly instructive. And perhaps that is their true purpose, not to become human, but to remind us what humanity is, not to think, but to make us think. Not to feel, but to make us feel more deeply. In the end, the future of androids is not a story about machines. It is a story about us, about the hearts that build them, the minds that imagine them, and the lives that will be changed by their presence.